This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. The bulk of HIV prevention and support services in the nation are funded through the federal government. Delaware is no different. And the first state has seen a 55% reduction in federal funding for HIV prevention services since 2023. Experts say if the government doesn't fund the public health sector, the U.S. will see a rise in HIV. Cutting corners won't save the country or the state of Delaware money either. In Delaware, lifelong treatment for HIV costs about $550,000. This week, Delaware Public Media's Abigail Lee sits down with Delaware HIV Consortium Executive Director Tyler Burrell to talk about HIV in the first state and the consortium's next steps, with or without federal funding.
As of the end of November, there were roughly 4,200 people in Delaware living with HIV. This is still a disease that largely impacts urban areas. So roughly, 60% of the population of people living with HIV reside in Newcastle County or the greater Wilmington area. But like I said, it does impact every zip code and area across the state. Right now, we are seeing, there's roughly 22% of people who reside in Delaware are African American, but roughly 55 or 60% of the population of people living with HIV in Delaware are African American or Black. We also know at this point that a lot of people living with HIV are aging with the disease. And so we're seeing a bulge in people over the age of 50 who are aging with HIV. And so we need to be concerned about, aging services as well for this population. They are your neighbors, they're your friends. And I'm sure that you know somebody who's living with HIV, even though they might not have told you. Roughly, though, it is a disease that adversely impacts marginalized populations, African-American community, low-income communities, Haitian and Creole populations, injection drug users, and largely in the LGBTQ or men who have sex with men area. HIV now is no longer a death sentence. If you're diagnosed with HIV and you are on your treatments, you can live effectively a full life. And you can also not pass the disease or the virus on to other people through your everyday activities. But the challenge is that there is limited access to care, limited testing here in Delaware, and we're seeing a rise in HIV. It is not a disease that is ended, and we need to now provide the additional attention and scrutiny to make sure that we work to continue to end the HIV epidemic here in Delaware.
And what would that look like? What would that take?
Sure. The first challenge is always making sure that everyone is tested for HIV. We know that public support and public funding for HIV, both on the prevention and care side, has been largely reduced over the last handful of years. And as an effect of that, there's no longer adequate coverage of HIV testing or prevention services in the communities across the state of Delaware. We also know that because of those limited access to the public health side of this, then we're seeing a vast rise in HIV diagnosis here in Delaware. So since the early 2020s, we've seen roughly a 30% rise in annual HIV diagnosis in Delaware. When we have all of the tools to effectively end HIV, either through testing or safe sex supplies or daily prescriptions to make sure that you can stay HIV negative. And then, the last piece of that is people living with HIV, the biggest indicator of someone remaining in access to HIV healthcare is providing affordable housing. We know that there's a housing affordability challenge here in Delaware. We also know that there's limited access to HIV healthcare as well. And so we know that we need to support those modalities across the board.
I know that from the consortium's annual report, about 92% of spending went to services. Can you talk a little bit about what kinds of services that includes?
The Delaware HIV Consortium was founded in 1991. We were formed initially as a community convener, working to bring all the state's stakeholders together in the HIV space to draft the state's strategic plans for ending the HIV epidemic. But in our 35-year history, we have grown into a diverse service provider and comprehensive service provider as well. So on the prevention side, we do HIV testing and testing for other diseases such as hepatitis C. We also do a condom distribution program and safe sex supply distribution program. We also have a new program in 2025, which is providing people with access to pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP, which is a pill or injection that you can take daily or regularly that if taken appropriately or will make sure that you stay HIV negative. On the care side, for people living with HIV, we have a comprehensive set of services as well. Case management program that serves roughly 400 Delawareans or a tenth of the persons diagnosed with HIV through case management. We have a very comprehensive housing assistance program that pays rental assistance to roughly 125 households per month to make sure that they stay in stable and safe housing. We also offer emergency financial assistance for people who are hit with unexpected utilities or rental bills that they cannot pay for through other means. And we also, which has become newly important to us, a comprehensive emergency hygiene and emergency food pantry program as well. Additionally, we still do advocacy and education type of work to make sure that the community is aware of the needs of this population.
So with rental and copay assistance, the consortium has a holistic care kind of model. Why is that rather than just focusing on things like case management and testing?
We know that the biggest driver of HIV health outcomes is access to safe and affordable housing. Generally, we find that if people do not have a safe place to call home, then they can't pay attention to their health care or taking their prescriptions that keep them their HIV at bay or healthy. On the flip side, our other largest program is a prescription program that we operate, which helps to pay for the prescriptions and co-pays for clients living with HIV to access their both HIV medications, but also their other healthcare medications as well. And so again, roughly a quarter of our budget goes to housing, roughly a quarter of our budget goes to prescriptions. We know that if we can support people's rental costs per month and they stay stably housed, then they're more likely to go to their doctor, more likely to go to their case manager, and more likely to be taking care of their other social determinants of health that impact their health overall.
Shifting into a different aspect, the federal landscape for HIV prevention and support has changed over the last year, over the last 5 years even. This year, the Trump administration canceled grants related to HIV research, and the bulk of prevention, treatment, and support services comes from federal funding. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like for the consortium and how that's playing out for you?
I think it's worth reflecting that HIV knows no party affiliation. And we've also seen a rise in annual HIV diagnosis here in Delaware in both Republican and Democratic administrations over the last 4 or 5 years as well. But we are seeing major stressors at this point, both across our entire public health landscape in Delaware, but in particular in the HIV public health and risk reduction prevention space. Since 2023, we've seen roughly a 55% reduction in public funds that go from the federal government to the state of Delaware for HIV prevention services. And that has had major impacts on both the government public health system, but also on community-based providers like ours in how we address the HIV response. We also are very adamantly aware that if we are not resourcing our public health sector, then we will see a rise in HIV. And it's going to cost the state of Delaware and the federal government money on the back end. We know that in Delaware, every person diagnosed with HIV has roughly a lifetime treatment cost of $550,000 to address their HIV healthcare throughout their lifetime. And so we know that if we don't resource our public health system now, then we'll have to pay for it on the back end.
At the end of the consortium's annual report, there's a line that says, quote, the DHC faced a sharp reduction in state prevention funding, but shows stability over retreat, protecting essential staff, and preserving community services. How have funding cuts reshaped the organization?
Over the last 2 years, we've seen a reduction in our state contracts by roughly $250,000 annually for HIV prevention services. And we are walking into 2026 with actually $0 in public contracts for HIV prevention moving forward. And so it's been 2 years now that we are trying to find new sustainable funding and service models to resource our prevention department. As an agency, it is our priority. It is our awareness and our commitment that we cannot end the HIV epidemic unless we prevent new HIV diagnoses. But now we're trying to figure out how to do it in other ways, and we haven't found a sustainable solution to that as of yet. And so what that has meant is we've seen a reduction in staffing in the department we've had to cut two or three prevention specialists and reduce the number of services that we can provide in the community while trying to be here in our offices and in the community as much as possible to make sure that people who have needs, who have to protect themselves from HIV, were available to them.
You said some of the cuts started in 2023. That was during the Biden administration. Do you see these funding cuts as a largely conservative move, or is that happening across party lines?
I would say that Again, HIV knows no political stripes. That we've seen a under-resourcing of public health systems, both at the federal and local levels under current administrations who deal with financial pressures now. They don't see the positive benefits of public health preventing disease in the future. And that has left public health systems weak and fragile. I would say that the current federal attitude to the HIV epidemic and a lot of the stakeholders or populations that we deal with have been antagonistic and unhelpful, and it could lead to, adverse challenges in people's lives impacted in the future that we are concerned about.
The new year starts in just a couple weeks. Where's the consortium at for next year? What does next year look like?
We are always in the planning phase for the organization. We are wrapping up a strategic planning process as we speak, and so we definitely see future threats down the line for access to care. So what are we doing as an organization? We are thinking about other funding models and program income that we have to support and diversify away from government funding. So we know that we'll see expansions of our prescription programs that we offer and operate to support both people living with HIV, but the organization. We are also going to be stepping out in a major way in advocacy, in our leadership in the advocacy space, to make sure our local state and federal elected officials are aware that HIV has not ended and that the public health system is fragile and needs to be supported now and in the future. So that's what we're doing in 2026. We are always concerned that there's not going to be enough revenue to meet the needs of our populations, but we are trying to systematically and strategically address those to make sure that we are here strong and available as experts as the need continues in the future and evolves in the future.
Thanks to Delaware HIV Consortium Executive Director Tyler Burrow and our Abigail Lee for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Arts Playlist and a conversation with Hagley Museum Executive Director Jill McKenzie as she prepares to retire next year. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.